Correction, Megan, are you our clerk this afternoon?
No, it's me, Mayor.
It is you, Keelan. Okay, great. Thank you. Good afternoon. This is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council on Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Keelan, please call the roll.
Good afternoon. Rubio.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the city's made several avenues available to the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. This meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, as well as on channel 30. The public may provide written testimony to the council by emailing the council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your continued patience, your flexibility, and your understanding as we continue to manage through these challenging circumstances to conduct the city's business. And with that, we will hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to speak briefly about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions, reports, or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of the testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded. Thank you.
Thank you. First item and only item for this afternoon, Keelan, item number 58, please.
Approve amendments to the settlement agreement between the United States Department of Justice and the City of Portland.
Colleagues, the DOJ sent the city a non-compliance notice earlier this year based on the city's response to demonstrations in 2020, as well as other related issues. The city has been in mediation with the Department of Justice, the Portland Police Association, the Alberta Ministerial Alliance, and the Mental Health Alliance regarding remedies based on that notice. Under the settlement agreement, the council must consider the proposed remedies resulting from the mediation. The DOJ originally proposed 9 remedies, and the city will be agreeing to all of those remedies if we approve this ordinance. The proposed remedies are an important step in addressing the community's concerns about the response to the demonstrations in 2020. The council will take public testimony on the proposed remedies today. However, the council will not vote on the remedies today. After public testimony, we will carry this item over until February 9th for further consideration. We will continue to accept written comments from the public until February 9th. This will also allow time for the council and the public to consider the findings of the OIR group's assessment of racial and political bias and resistance to change within the Portland Police Bureau. I expect the OIR group's report to be released by the end of this month. I would also, at this time, like to invite the U.S. Department of Justice to review the OIR Group report and provide any recommendations based on that report. And we will make sure that they get it as quickly as I get it. The remedies under discussion today are focused on the DOJ's concerns arising out of 2020. The DOJ, of course, reserves its ability to seek additional remedies in the future. This is their right, and we acknowledge it. But the remedies before us for consideration today are an important first step in addressing community concerns arising out of 2020. It is my understanding that the Department of Justice would like the Council to proceed with its considerations of these proposed remedies. I'll now turn it over to Robert Taylor and Heidi Brown from the City Attorney's Office to walk us through the proposed remedies. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor, members of Council. For the record, my name is Robert Taylor. I'm the City Attorney. Before I start, I want to thank everybody who's been working so hard the past few months on the mediation process, including the mayor, members of council, council staff, the auditor and her staff, as well as the PPA and the Mental Health Alliance and the Alberta Ministerial Alliance. I also really want to thank Heidi Brown for all of her help during this process. And I want to recognize Judge Beckerman for her work as our mediator. It has been outstanding in this process. Before I walk us through all the remedies, I want to address some recent issues. The Department of Justice sent us a letter on the 18th expressing their concern about the RRT presentation. I provided a written response to them yesterday in advance of the PSEP meeting and in advance of this council hearing. In response to the DOJ, we have provided the records that they have asked for. We also provided an explanation for how the information was provided to them and the timing around that. I take responsibility for balancing the competing issues that I had in my mind at the time. And if I had that to do over again, I would have done it differently. And I accept responsibility for that. And I apologize for that. We had asked if the DOJ would be available to talk to council today also. And I understand from them that there are some federal lobbying rules that prevent them from speaking in this forum in front of elected officials, but they can present at the PSEP and other community forums. And so they have done that in those places. As the mayor mentioned, I do understand from them, we've had several conversations in the last week, and I asked them if they wanted us to proceed with considering these remedies or if we should delay it. And it was their belief that we should continue with these remedies that were focused on remedying the issues that we saw in 2020. And so with that, if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them now, or I can just proceed with the discussion of the remedies.
Robert, only one thing. Thank you for your apology, but I cannot let you stand there alone and take the blame or the criticism for this. I was not raised that way. You gave me your best legal advice, and Heidi, you gave me your best legal advice, and I think your legal advice has historically been outstanding, and I appreciate it, but it is just that. It is advice. And I accepted that advice. I am as much involved in that decision as you. And so while I appreciate your taking one for the team, I can't let you take it alone. I stand right with you. It could have been handled better. And I think we all learned something from this, myself included. So thank you for your acknowledgement. It's why I appreciate you. I think you're, you know, aside from being an outstanding attorney, you're just a really decent person. And frankly, at the end of the day, that's what counts more. But I'm as complicit in this as anybody. I've learned from this experience. I've heard from my colleagues. I've heard from others. And I stand right there with you, Robert. So thank you for that. But this has always been a team effort. This has always been a group effort. And I just appreciate the way you've handled this with tremendous professionalism and aplomb. Thank you. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just going to say the same thing. Robert inherited this. Actually, just like you inherited it and many of the council colleagues. So it is not appropriate to say somehow our attorneys failed us. I am the person on council who's been involved in the U.S. Department of Justice settlement agreement the longest. I was part of the group that helped bring them to the city of Portland. And so I can tell you that we've had excellent partnerships with community and the city of Portland and the attorney's office. And where there is agreement, we have worked well together. And where there's been disagreement, there's been respectful disagreement. And so, you know, if this was easy, they'd have fixed it a long time ago. And so I stand with you, Mayor Wheeler. I've been at this for over 14 years with this particular settlement agreement. So many of you are the new kids on the block. And what I know is it's been difficult from day one, and it will continue to be so. But I love the fact that we have a dedicated team in our city attorney's office that are committed to making sure that Portlanders have trust and faith in our system. And you know, and I agree with the mayor, Robert, you're just fabulous. And actually you have a fabulous team. I've met with no one that I didn't think like, wow, we were really lucky to get them. So, so enough of the love fest, but I also just, you know, I know who you are, Robert, as a person, and that's just not appropriate for you to take that on your shoulders.
I really appreciate that, Mayor and Commissioner Hardesty. I really do. It is important for me to take responsibility and apologize, and I really appreciate the support through this. So what I would like to do is go through the remedies, and I'll just refer to them by the paragraph number. That's how they are listed in the exhibit to this ordinance. So if folks are following along, that's what I'm referring to. The first is in paragraph 188, and that's a requirement that the Bureau revise their FDCR and after action reports to capture their the name of the officer filling out the report, as well as the date it is submitted, and then to capture that same type of information in any edits that are done later in any other level of review. The long-term solution to that is part of the Office 365 implementation by the Bureau. There's also an interim solution to capture that to that information as well. And Council has previously funded that Office 365 implementation, so that's underway. Paragraph 189, this is the requirement that an outside entity be hired to do a critical assessment, a needs assessment based on the experience in 2020 responding to demonstrations. Council budgeted $300,000 for that previously, and we have committed to the Department of Justice that if additional resources are necessary, that we would find that. I think it's likely that it may cost more than $300,000, but we are very close to finalizing our choice of who we're going to go with as far as who the outside consultant is. And I've got a meeting scheduled tomorrow with the Department of Justice to talk to them on that specific issue. The next item is paragraph 190, And this is a requirement that the Bureau this year and in future years separately budget overtime for training purposes. And that's intended to avoid the problem where there's a lot of overtime, and so there's not enough left in the budget to cover expenses related to training. That's something the Bureau has done and will do in the future, starting with the current budget. In paragraph 191, this is the requirement that the city hire a qualified civilian professional to lead all aspects of the training division.
Robert, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure you're not supposed to be walking us through a PowerPoint or something, correct? You're just reading this, correct?
No, I'm just reading it.
I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And the full document, if folks want to at home or elsewhere want to follow along, it's Exhibit A to the ordinance. The purpose of this, of the dean, is to provide professional adult learning expertise when developing the training division curriculum. That's something other cities do, and it's other cities have found that useful, and the DOJ also believes it's would be helpful. Paragraph 192 is the accountability provision, and it requires IPR investigations into higher level people who did training related to crowd control, also incident commanders and directions they gave and their reporting requirements and review requirements afterwards, and then also commanders and above not properly clarifying any misunderstandings or misapplications of the PPB directives. I want to call out specifically that there was a provision that was added to that after a subsequent mediation between the DOJ and the Mental Health Alliance and the Alberta Ministerial Alliance. And that last sentence confirmed everybody's commitment to also perform investigations of anybody at any level in the Bureau if that was discovered as part of any of the investigations that were ongoing. And then paragraph 193, that's a relatively simple one. That's a commitment that we will hold all of the required precinct meetings and do the annual report by September 20th. Paragraph 194 deals with the body-worn cameras issue, and I know council also heard an ordinance this morning on procurement of those, and that council is carrying that item over till February 9th, and also this ordinance over to February 9th. The way paragraph 194 is structured is an attempt to satisfy the DOJ's competing demands and our obligations to collectively bargain with the union. So it says that we will fulfill our bargaining obligations. There's also a process in there to gather public input on body-worn cameras. There's a provision that the court can ask for status updates on the bargaining. And then the Department of Justice reserves its rights to review any policy and proceed to immediate enforcement if they feel like the ultimate body-worn camera policy does not satisfy its compliance concerns. And paragraph 195 deals with the transition from IPR to the new Civilian Police Oversight Board. And it really has two provisions. The first is the plan for the transition of IPR employees so that we can be assured that they are retained to do the work necessary under the settlement agreement. The council will submit a plan to the DOJ. The auditor will submit a plan to the DOJ for how to handle that transition. If the DOJ approves both of those plans, then it would be up to council as the ultimate policy body in the city to make that decision as to which plan to pursue. And then the last provision outlines the process for the transition to the new oversight board. And it would provide the commission has been appointed. They will have 18 months to develop suggested code changes for council. Then there's a process for council to review those along with the DOJ, council to ultimately vote on those code changes. And then from there, council would have, or the city would have 12 months to fully implement those changes that come out of the commission's work. And with that provision and with the body worn camera provision and other provisions in this settlement addendum, what we have also agreed to with the DOJ is some deadlines that are aggressive, but I think it's good to have those deadlines so it gives us something to shoot for. And as long as we are making substantial progress towards those deadlines, the DOJ will give us grace on those deadlines so that we can achieve our mutual goal of implementing these remedies. That's the summary of this, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Hardest.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Robert. That was an excellent summary. I just want this question answered on the public record. As you know, the Rethink Commission has had their second meeting and will be having their third meeting soon. And when we appointed that commission, we told them they had 18 months to conclude their work. Based on us being found out of compliance and based on the new DOJ requirements, when does the clock start for the Rethink Commission in order to meet that 18-month timeline?
The 18-month clock starts when the court enters this as a remedy. So that the clock hasn't technically started yet, but I'm glad that the commission is meeting and doing their work.
Me too. And I only wanted that on the public record because there are some members that are concerned that, you know, the date's going to be different, right? And their work is actually to develop the recommendations that the council will adopt and not worry about the clock, but know that 18 months is the kind of time that they've been given us since they were appointed. So thank you. I just wanted that to be on the public record because I've had some conversation with some members that are confused by that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's it for now. Robert, does that complete your presentation?
Yes, it does, Mayor. Thank you.
Very good. Keelan, how many people do we have signed up for public testimony?
We have 4 people.
Very good. 3 minutes each. Please name for the record.
First up, we have Dan Handelman.
Good afternoon, Dan.
Dan, we can't hear you.
My phone was muted. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, members of council. I saw you again this morning. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm speaking this afternoon representing the views of Portland Cop Watch, even though I'm also a member of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform and the Police Accountability Commission. Our group, Portland Cop Watch, does not have major concerns about most of the issues being presented to you as amendments to the DOJ agreement today. However, as noted in the testimony on body-worn cameras, we feel strongly that the policies for the use of the body cameras must be decided upon before the city implements the plan. I heard Commissioner Hardesty ask this morning to change the RFP to a request for information, and there was no discussion by the rest of the council on that. I'm hoping that will be a solution to not spend money on equipment that doesn't meet the needs of the public. We share the Mental Health Alliance and the AMAC's concern that if officers get to review footage before testifying or writing reports about force incidents, the city should not get the cameras at all. Supreme Court case guiding the use of force says that force has to be reasonable based on what the officer knows at the time, not 2020 hindsight. Reviewing the video is exactly that, 2020 hindsight that allows officers to change their story. We're glad the amendments now make it clear that officers who engaged in misconduct during the 2020 protests might be held accountable if their actions are discovered during the investigations into the higher ranking police officers. We're also glad that the independent police review is envisioned as being operational until up to a year after the city creates the structure for the new oversight board. While the IPR has its serious flaws, failing to keep that agency staffed and active leaves only police internal affairs in charge of investigating police misconduct. The city has had some form of civilian oversight for 40 years as of this year. There's no reason to take a step backward before moving forward. Again, speaking for Fortin Cop Watch and not the commission, we urge the council, once the amendments are adopted and accepted by the judge, to revisit the resolution that created the commission. That document, which is binding city policy, sets the timeline for coming up with a structure beginning on July 18, 2021, when you voted on that resolution. That would give us only a year from today to finish the plans. So while the city attorney's offered an opinion, it would make me feel a lot better if you amend that resolution as well. CopWatch has also urged the council to consider ramping up IPR and its citizen review committee to look more like the new oversight system to help make the transition smoother. One way to do that would be to remove the impediment to community members on the CRC, which requires them to defer to police decisions if a reasonable person could come to the same conclusion. The new board will be deciding on the findings and, according to the charter, the discipline for officers. It seems the first step for CRC would be to let them make decisions based on a preponderance of the evidence. And as DOJ has repeatedly said, if you strengthen the current system, that's not a violation of the agreement. The last two items are things you don't need to do when adopting these amendments but we urge council to take action on them right away to further the spirit of increased accountability. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Debbie Iona.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. My name is Debbie Iona. I'm representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League has been involved in issues related to police accountability for over 40 years and closely tracks the city's settlement agreement with the U.S. Department of Justice. We encourage council to sign off on the 9 remedies included in the addendum to the agreement and appreciate the extra effort taken by the parties to engage in additional mediation. Clearly, the time was well spent. We have several specific comments to share. It is essential that the city's body-worn camera policy includes provisions that prohibit violations of ORS 181A-250, the state statute that protects Oregonians' First Amendment rights. Further, a thorough public process should be completed before the city commits to purchasing cameras. The community needs to have the opportunity to understand the policy choices and provide the direction necessary for the city to acquire suitable equipment. The League agrees with authorizing misconduct investigations of police personnel with rankings below lieutenant who were involved in crowd control events. We support the requirement that the city develop a plan for a smooth transition between the IPR and the new Community Police Oversight Board. The addendum includes a January 21, 2022 deadline to submit proposed plans, and we wonder when they will be made available to the public. It is critical that the city have a functioning civilian oversight system at all times during the transition. Finally, the importance of civilian leadership over the educational aspects of the training division became even more evident upon the recent release of the RRT training presentation slides. We encourage you to give the new civilian head the authority to put an end to the use of training materials with objectionable content. Thank you for considering our comments.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Edith Gillis.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Since cops can control their cameras, the views, the data, its use or its loss, money wasted on body-worn cameras is more defunding of what we really need, which is preventing, investigating, and solving crimes and caring for crime victims. But if you're going to be doing this, I want to make sure that we use body-worn cameras to protect the public, our human and civil rights, and to really hold police accountable. I mean, honestly and thoroughly. So far, police protect each other within the department and across different agencies, especially if you have a joint terrorism task force, especially if you use other agencies coming in and mutually sharing the guilt of crimes during protests. Most DAs are complicit. Most judges and jurors are pro-police or afraid of police extortion or violent retaliation, libel, false arrest. Police body-worn cameras can be turned off, not properly charged, they can be damaged, they can be so-called lost, they can be covered, they can have the lens compromised, they can be blocked. You can put Vaseline over the lens. You can wear your raincoat, your scarf, have your COVID mask slip down. Oh my gosh, it doesn't see anything. Stand in front of a open car door so the car door blocks the camera view. It's easy to prevent the cameras from showing what it wants. At protests over and over, we see police turning their backs to the criminal police committing assault and battery or attempted murder. And there, if they had cameras on their chest or hats or shoulders, it would not show the crimes committed by the police. What they're doing is they're filming, if they had cameras, and some of them have their own little cell phones that are used illegally to film the protesters, the witnesses, to intimidate them otherwise. Other cops use their bodies to block the view of journalists and bystanders so they cannot video it. Other cops use their cop cars and use sharp flashing bright lights to prevent the cameras from being able to process or film things. Police have prevented folks from coming around, have arrested them for not vacating an area before the police commit their pre-planned crimes. Cops don't obey the rules. They don't obey the law. They don't follow the training. They have bad training. Even they have good training, they abuse it. We've seen this in Minneapolis. All the abuses were done by people that already had equity training. They had their body-worn cameras. They had all this oversight, and none of these so-called reforms made a difference in the lives of the people they stole. Supervisors can coach them when they view the camera. They can have the so-called investigations internally change the evidence. They can have anything using their stingers or their jam radio to prevent the uploading or to damage it. Any kind of digital stuff can be hacked. It can be destroyed, the technology, the cameras, the storage. I mean, there's so many different ways in which criminals can prevent themselves from being videoed, or they can set up a screen to make a false narrative and support each other in that. You can talk to all these defense attorneys that have not been able to access body-worn camera footage to show that it is not in the service of the public.
Thank you. You're considerably over time. Thank you. I think we got him. Commissioner Hardesty, I think, has a question for you.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say welcome back, Edith Gillis. It is wonderful to hear your voice sound so strong, to hear you turning pages, which means that you're regaining your health. And your voice has been missed at City Council. So I just wanted to acknowledge and welcome you back.
Thank you. Don't ever get a police-caused traumatic brain injury. It messes your heart and your life. Thank you.
Well, Edith, I'm just happy you are on the road to recovery and you sound stronger and you sound more like yourself. So just want you to know how happy I was to see you pop up today. I also, Mayor, wanted to take a moment to really appreciate Dan and Debbie, who are part of our Rethink Commission. We have put an enormous amount of faith and work on the shoulders of 20 incredible community members who are people who are open-minded and will engage all communities in helping us develop what will be our new police oversight committee. And I know that both Debbie and Dan, between them, have over 60 some years of working on these issues. And so I just want to publicly say thank you for investing more of your time into helping us build the kind of oversight system that the community and the police will trust. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Keelan, I think we have one or two more people.
Yes, one more. Next up is Reverend Dr. Mark Knutson.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, again, for your dedicated work. It's not easy being a public servant in these days, so we keep you in our prayers each and every day. On behalf of, as the steering committee of the Albina Ministerial Alliance, a coalition for justice and police reform that was formed almost 20 years ago after the death of Kendra James, and we can recount what's happened since. And we've been in federal court again as a friend of the court with the Portland Police Bureau, the City of Portland, the Department of Justice, and the Mental Health Alliance. And so these recommendations coming from the DOJ, we would support these. We had some concerns, especially with the violence around the 2020 protests and getting to the bottom of that. But we also want to make sure that we underscore the importance of the qualified civilian dean for the training process. That's going to be vitally important with community input. And, you know, I see Commissioner Hardesty shaking her head because she's been about that as well as the others here. And that's going to be very important that that's done well. And of course, the implementation of the Community Police Oversight Board will be very important. Going back to the body cams, if those are to be implemented again, community input, keep that strong. It has to be. Because communities can be adversely affected by this. It's about police accountability if it's done. And the other part of it is the importance that officers cannot review footage, as I shared this morning, before they file their reports. And let me say too, well, we've been saying this, I'm not sure how many mayors we've been with now in the last 20 years and how many police chiefs and council people in this process. And I want to speak very clearly, the two groups, at least in this deliberation over the last 10 years with Judge Michael Simon, that have been pretty consistent in the same people coming again and again and again have been the Department of Justice and the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, as well as the mental health. But there's been changes in other places in leadership. And so it's important that we keep Judge Simon as our lead on this, because he's going to be there. Either way. And I also want to say too that as you all know, this is just some remedies. This is not the big picture of policing. And as a AMAC, we've been talking about this, as so many others have, where I highly respect their opinions on this call today, that it's a mosaic and we have to envision what community-based peacekeeping is. And what does that look like? And I pray still that we'll really look at that big picture view and come back in. And we're painting a part of that mosaic right now with the settlement agreement. But that's not the end all. As I saw earlier, 82% of the police live outside of the city. The diversity of who makes up, of course, or whatever we end up calling it going forward. We do need peacekeepers in the city. And the, again, community-based aspect to that. And people who can help change the culture, not only in Portland and this nation around policing. So thank you for the time. I really appreciate the work, everyone. Keep the faith and keep on going.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right, colleagues, any further discussion or questions at this particular point? Again, we're not going to take the vote today. We're going to continue this conversation for a bit. But before we do that, are there any further comments or questions? Seeing Commissioner Hardy, Steve.
Thank you, Mayor. Real quick, I thought we were at the end of testimony. I just wanted to add Dr. Reverend Knudsen to the list of folks who've been working on these issues for 30 plus years right here in the city of Portland. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. I did have a question of legal counsel. I know that we are going to continue this item until February 9th, but it was my understanding it was going to be a time certain. Maybe Keelan, this is directed towards you as council clerk. Do we have a time certain for this?
We do have a 10:05 available.
10:05, and this is on February 9th. Colleagues, we are continuing this item then till February 9th, time certain 10:05. We will keep the written record open until the beginning of that session, which starts at 9:30 a.m. So if people are inspired to comment or have additional thoughts, we would welcome those additional thoughts in writing via email. Any further, Commissioner Hurst?
Mayor, I'm curious if we'll have the information from the COCOL and the Community Engaged Policing Committee on the hundred of the testimony that they collected around body cams before the vote?
So I do not have that information at this particular time. But again, if we get to February 9th and the council feels that they do not have adequate information to be able to make a decision at that time, we could take it up at that time.
Thank you.
In other words, nothing's in stone. Great. Thank you all. Keelan, that completes our business?
Yes, it does.
Very good. Thank you, everybody. We are adjourned.